Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Molly Green and
Darren Rudge.
I saw Monty Don just going hell for leather with a hoe.
I'd certainly keep them going all the year round.
The Happy Garden.
A very warm welcome to another episode of the Happy Garden podcast. My name is Molly. Hello, you. It's a pleasure to have your company. And yes, it is still raining. And the forecast doesn't show it's going to stop anytime soon either. But we may have grey, damp days to contend with, but we've also got the hope-filled pleasure of literally sowing the summer. Maybe you've already had the fresh and juicy coleoptiles pushing their way through the soil, shaking off their seed case, which is still hanging from the tip of one leaf. Got loads of those in the living room. You can always hear them. As Darren would say, they're going whee! Talking of which, let's get the main man on. It is your horticultural expert, your friend and mine. It's the super duper Darren Rudge.
Hello. Are you all right?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
He was having a bilious attack.
No, you told me last week when I planted my bare root roses.
Yes.
That right now they'll be going
whee! Well, it will.
Because they're free.
They're free!
They're free!
Let them run free!
Yes. They still look like twigs, though. I might put that down to talk to you about in the podcast a little bit later on. I don't know if I've been sold some twigs. Anyway, back to... For £70. Back to today's podcast. First up, though, how are you? How have all the exams gone? How's your week been, Darren?
Knackered.
Yeah.
In a word, I'm absolutely shattered. I haven't stopped travelling this week. I've been here, there and everywhere. Started in Lincoln and then running around the country and ended up in Birmingham yesterday and the day before. So 2 10-hour days I've come out of, Molly.
Wow.
So it's the long, long days. And then tomorrow as well, I've got two more. That's it, really, for the first batch of exams. So I'm looking forward to kicking my feet up after that, having a little break and a little bit of a rest.
Are there more to come, then? Are there more RHS exams in the spring?
Not in the spring, it'll be summer,
right,
yeah. So
right.
we have what we call PCAs, which are practical competence assessments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's PCA 1, which is in the spring, and PCA 2, which is in the summer. This is for level 2.
Mm.
In the summer, they start from May to July. So it'll all start to kick off again for me in May.
Well, you're doing well. I know you're juggling 1,000 plates. And I did see on our Facebook page, the Happy Garden podcast Facebook page as well, your fabulous folk that have been under you at the community garden, all receiving their certificates of completion.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Phase 2 is done. There's 4 phases. We've got phase 3 starting in April, so we'll have a new batch of volunteers that will come along and help us play in the garden. So we're about halfway through what we want to achieve.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll still be alive then, Taryn. You need a holiday.
I hope so. I'm going away. Did I tell you? Have you booked this in the diary?
CK what?
I'm on holiday.
What?
In April.
Again, what?
Did I not tell you?
No.
Ooh, well, that's awkward, isn't it?
Where are you going?
I'm going to Whitby.
Oh, eating prawns in Whitby. That's fine. We can still do you from Whitby. You can sit on the sea. So you can sit on the seawall.
Actually, you know, if I can find a Wi-Fi linky thing.
We can still do you from Whitby.
We could still do me from Whitby.
There's no excuse.
Let's do that, shall we?
People literally worldwide would miss the podcast, I think, if we missed a week.
Yeah.
I'd like
well,
to
Well, we can't
so.
Do that. No, we can't do that. We're definitely not going to do that. No. So
we'll sort something out. When are you going away?
I'm just worried whether the house will be burgled.
Oh, so you're not going to say? Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, it's...
Okay. I'm going to bleep that out sometime soon. Okay. We'll sort something. It'll be fine.
I'm telling you folks, there's not a lot to find.
You're joking, aren't there? There's a brand new set of saucepans, which are not cheap, and there's also a two-speed hammer drill somewhere knocking about.
And Mrs. Darren was actually telling you before the pod how she was putting her DIY skills to the test, weren't they?
Yeah, because you lost something down the sink and you kind of like flicked your wrist and said, do you mind finding it? Went out. And she was under the U-bend for a good hour sorting things out. You've got a good wife there, Darren, before she cooked your dinner.
Oh, I hope she washed her hands.
Oh, jeez. Right, let's get on with the podcast, shall we? We've done the pleasantries. Right.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do this thing.
So the podcast for today. So, yeah, it's really grey and dank. Darren and I are recording this because, as you've just heard, Darren's got all the RHS stuff going on and I'm working this week. So we're actually recording this on Sunday. So you probably won't be listening to this for a week or so. But it's Mothering Sunday. It is disgusting outside. It's grey. It's pelting down. It's setting all day. It's like having a bag on your head, this greyness. But the podcast is hopefully going to lift that bag this hour. We are going to have a massive sprinkle of sunshine on the Happy Garden podcast today, because if there's one flower guaranteed to lift your mood and spread joyful cheer and bring us the first sort of real explosion of bright colour in the gardens this year, it's the daffodil. Sunshine on a stalk. We're going to be talking to the Daffodil Society a little bit later on, all things narcissi. You're doing some jobs for the week ahead and also what to sow and plant this week?
Definitely, yeah. I think this is going to be a new slot, isn't it, for us? What's Darren up to in the garden?
No, we need a... We could put it out there. We need a catchy title for the slot.
Yeah, please.
What's Darren doing?
What's Darren doing in the garden?
I'm sure we'll think something better than that. What the hell's Darren doing?
But, I'm going to profile what you could be up to in detail in your garden. Just perhaps one or two little things to be considering at that particular point in time.
Yeah, because everybody is starting to sow and grow. And today, it being Mothering Sunday, I think this is kind of the start of the calendar year, isn't it, for garden centres and stuff. Today's when everyone goes to a garden centre to get plants and flowers. And then, they have that little spark of enthusiasm and things ramp up. What else are we doing? Oh, money-saving tips.
Yeah, money-saving tip.
And Andy Lound with his horticultural histories, and he's profiling the greenhouse today, the horticultural history of the greenhouse, which will be very, very interesting. So all that and more to come.
All of this and more still to come on...
The Happy Garden.
With Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
Right then, my lovely, shall we kick off with some of your jobs for the week ahead?
Yes.
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes.
Two.
Go, Darren, go.
Right. Tidy up. That's it, jobs for the week. Yeah, just have a little bit of a tidy round, folks. It's that time of year, isn't it, where you get into the garden, you remove those leaves, any remaining leaves, cut back things now. So if you've left things for the birds and the wildlife, over the winter period, just give them a really nice, decent sort of cut back. Your pelargoniums, you can take cuttings of them right now, folks. So 3-inch cuttings, 3 to 4 inches. Cut below a leaf joint, remove those lower leaves, leave a pair of leaves on top and then pop onto some gritty compost. Put it back over the top on a sunny windowsill and around about 5 to 6 weeks' time, you'll have a new pelargonium, folks. Weed and spread compost from your compost bin all over the borders and your vegetable patch.
Great. Will do. Thank you, Darren. We'll do some more jobs for the week ahead towards the end of the podcast. Right, are you ready for a question?
Of course. Yes, as always.
I have had a couple, actually 3 emails this week to my BBC email asking what the podcast email is. So I don't think actually we give it out enough. So I'll just do that now. If you want Darren's advice on anything, and it could be teeny, it could be massive. And don't worry if you think it is teeny because everyone starts somewhere, don't they, Darren? Don't be embarrassed to ask anything.
Yeah, no questions too small. Well, you know, no questions too big either. But we've only got a certain amount of time. but no questions too small. And if you're thinking it, somebody else is thinking it as well. Mm-hmm. So especially at this time when everything is just starting to get going in the garden, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what should I do with this and what do I need to do here? And just fly us an email.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please
and
do.
Lots of people this time of year as well come into gardening, get inspired, as I mentioned earlier on about maybe you've gone to the garden centre to get a Mother's Day plant and thought, oh, this all looks nice and smells nice. I wouldn't mind getting it. Lots of people this time of year are new to gardening and horticulture. So if you're one of those, yeah. It is The Happy Garden Podcast, which is all one word, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com, which is one word as well, Gmail, the letter G and then mail. thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. All right, that will get you through and then we can give your question to our Darren. Like Anne, lovely Anne with no E. She gets annoyed if you put an E on it. All right, Anne. She says, Molly, Darren, I have 2 strelitzias. I've grown them outside in the summer and indoors in the winter. This one on the left I grew from seed given to me by someone who'd just been on holiday. It's trying to fight its way out of the pot. The right-hand one was what I thought was a plastic bird of paradise for pennies in a sale. Only the flower was plastic. The plant has grown and grown. What can I do to get them to flower? I did send you the pictures
yeah, you
on,
did.
Didn't I, in the
yeah.
week? Yeah.
It's just a massive picture.
Oh, did I not compress it? Sorry.
No. Anne, without an E. yeah, you need to be patient with your strelitzias. I mean, if they're new plants to you, they will take 3 to 4 years before they actually start to produce flowers. They like to be pot-bound, that's the other thing. So the fact that the one's trying to climb out of the pot is not a problem, because if you pot it up, then you've got another 3 to 4 years before it potentially might flower. Now, to get them into flower, what you need to do is you need to feed them. So you need a high potash feed. So your tomato food is as good as anything that you could potentially use, and you need to draw them into the light. So because they're house plants, we tend to keep them, you know, in dark shady places, but bring them into the light. Well, let them see the light, Anne. And start a feeding regime once a week, and that will force them into flower. That should force them into flower. But if they haven't been in their pots for more than 4 years, then you're probably wasting your time, because they do take a little bit of time to settle in, and it's like 3 to 4 years before they'll actually start to produce flowers anyway. Hope that helps you. Okay. There you go.
Thank you, Anne. You're so funny, Darren. Whenever you mention the light and I shout that quote from The Exorcist or wherever it's from, you don't even reference it because you just hear me say it so often it makes me laugh. The fact as well that... isn't it brilliant that Anne bought this bird of paradise plant thinking it was plastic, but somebody cleverly had just put a... Isn't that clever to put a plastic flower in foliage to make it look better? That's genius.
It's a brilliant idea, isn't it? Do you remember the lady that contacted us once and had been watering a plant and wondered why it wasn't growing?
For years.
For years.
She bought it from B&M.
And we got her to tap it out the pots, and it was polystyrene.
Polystyrene and plastic. She wondered why the water had been rolling off for years and not sinking into the soil. Oh, she was so lovely. And it took us about 3 weeks to get to the bottom of this. She'd sent us photos and all sorts. oh, love her. They're very good, though. We'll do some garden centre chat in a little while, but my husband and I think have been to maybe 12 now. in the last fortnight. And I have gone a bit nuts, Darren. There was one in Leicestershire that we went to, had 20% off everything that particular day. I know it was their I think it was their 20th anniversary, so it was 20% off everything. My God, I bought so much. And there was 50% off all the fake flowers and greenery. I went mad. I bought so many bits and pieces. The fake stuff these days is really, really good. And I did buy some flower stalks, some camellia flower stalks and some baby's breath as well and some other green foliage, which I will in the summer mix or late spring mix with real flowers or real foliage or put in real plants to make that sort of display.
Yeah, brilliant idea. It's great, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, great stuff.
They're very good these days. Yeah. Right, we will do Darren's money-saving tips very, very shortly. I've also got Andy Lound on the way for you as well. What are we doing today? Greenhouses. I've got a list of what... I lose track of what we have and haven't done with Andy Lound. We've done manure, haven't we?
Yeah.
We did that last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
I've got to come. I've got...
It's a bit poo.
I've got apples. Have we done apples? I have to listen back.
I don't think we've done apple.
Tulips, rhubarb, bushes.
Bushes.
The history of the bush. And apparently it took him like about 40 minutes to record that one.
The history of the bush.
No, we like eclecticness on this show, the history of the bush. I know, actually, that defies sense, doesn't it? So that's one to look forward to coming up. It's greenhouses today. I've just realised on the screenhouses. History of greenhouses.
Sorry.
Love Andy Lound. If you want Andy to delve into any, literally anything...
Not your bush.
Not your
bush.
I'm not pimping him out, Darren.
Sorry. It just came out.
Actually, hang on.
You know when you think of something and your mouth moves before your brain thinks? Yeah. We could get Andy to come and delve in your bush.
I think that's called... Darren, I don't think we'll get away with that. We certainly need Andy's consent. That's really not what he signed up for.
Oh dear. It's not Radio 4, this, is it? It really isn't.
And actually, I've just made a really good contact with the National Trust.
The National Trust.
Let's just hope, let's hope they don't hear this section of this episode either. Right, where were we? Done
we
one
go.
Sheet. Done, Anne.
Tears in my eyes now.
Oh, now, Daffodil Society. That's a little bit of class on the podcast now. So it is time for a sunny chat about the beautiful daffodil, the trumpet of sunshine. So I spoke to the Daffodil Society. I spoke to the lovely Jan Dalton, who is actually the archivist for the National Daffodil Society, and asked them just how they started.
It was started in the West Midlands, in Birmingham, at the Botanical Gardens in Edgbaston, and it was started by the idea of a man called Robert Sydenham, who is our founder. Robert Sydenham was a local entrepreneur and businessman and had a jewellery business with his brother in Tenby Street in Birmingham. But he was also a keen plantsman. He liked growing carnations and sweet peas, and in particular, he liked growing daffodils. And eventually, he got in touch with the Birmingham Botanical Gardens and spoke to a Professor Hillhouse there, Professor William Hillhouse. And from 1893 to 1898, there was a show held in the Botanical Gardens. And from that show, the idea stemmed that they ought to form a daffodil society. And so between the two of them, they did what is now called the Daffodil Society, but in the days when it was born, it was called the Midland Daffodil Society.
So it is national. I mean, there's a huge national interest and obviously always has been in these beautiful flowers.
Yes, well, it's not only national, it's international, actually, because we have members all over the world. We have members in America, we have members in New Zealand, Australia, Holland, Japan, South Africa, literally all over Europe as well. You know, it is an international organisation.
What kind of members do you have, Jan? I mean, obviously people who love narcissi daffodils. Do you have professional growers, just enthusiasts? Yes. What sort of people come to you?
We have quite a mix, really. The professional growers, as you say, are the people who have specialist nurseries and specialise in selling daffodil bulbs. And they've always been a part of the society because in the early days we used to have trade stands at the show in the botanical gardens, and we could have anything up to 30 trade stands displaying all sorts of bulbs, you know, like things like hyacinths and tulips, but obviously a preponderance of daffodils as well. But the general membership, generally just amateur gardeners who love daffodils, love growing them, and they like to show them, to the public and like to show them to other growers. And so the show was born, and that's one of the objectives of the society, is to hold a show every year so that people can marvel at the new varieties that come out every year.
How many varieties do you think there are?
Well, since daffodils were first started to be recorded and registered with the Royal Horticultural Society, I think the figure stands at about 30-odd thousand, 32,000 at the moment.
Wow.
Wow. That's over a period of about 120 years. You know, it's quite a staggering number when you consider, you know, how many varieties there are. Granted, a lot of them are no longer with us. They've passed away and been superseded by newer and better and bigger varieties. But in general, amateur breeders are breeding probably somewhere in the region of about 150 new varieties each year that come into the RHS's register.
And do you get to see these at the shows?
Yes, if you go to our annual show, which is held now in the Botanical Gardens in Birmingham, you will see the latest and best varieties, the new seedlings, the new name varieties, and there are also a couple of big major shows in London, and then one in Harrogate at the Harrogate Spring Flower Show. And of course, in the West Country and Lincolnshire, there is also a society show that, you know, you can go and marvel at these new daffodils.
Yeah, and talk me through a show. I've never been to a daffodil show. I am imagining in my mind's eye just a room full of sunshine.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it, because, you know, one of the varieties of daffodils that was famous many years ago was called Golden Harvest, and that's exactly what it was. It was a commercial variety. In its day, it was an innovation, but it was a commercial variety, and Golden Harvest actually described it very well. But at the shows, what we're looking at the shows in the main are varieties that we call exhibition varieties. They maybe don't make the greatest of garden varieties. Some do go on to become good garden varieties, but they're mainly for exhibition purposes. So they're looking for a perfection of form, good colours, strong colours, wonderful poise. And really, when you see a daffodil show, there are so many different sections in the daffodil world that they go from something like 2 or 3 inches high right the way up to the standard variety, what we call the standard varieties, which can grow anything up to 2 to 3 feet high. So there is a range of something for everybody in daffodils: miniatures, intermediates, standard varieties. And one of the beauties of them, they are all, most of them, if not 95% of them, are all hardy out in the garden, which is what makes them such a popular gardening plant.
For anybody listening to you talking about shows who has never dipped their toe in sort of exhibition waters before, Jan, is it difficult? Is it difficult to have a go? Would you encourage people to have a go at showing?
Absolutely. There's nothing difficult about it, really. And daffodils are very accommodating. They're not difficult to grow as a plant itself. So once you've planted the bulbs, and usually you either plant them in raised beds outside and give them some sort of protection when they come into flower, or you can grow them in pots, as a lot of people do, and flower them in a cold greenhouse. And they will flower from March right the way through till the end of May. So, you know, there's a good range and a good coverage of year-on-year flower throughout the season, you know.
Does the Daffodil Society ever go down to Chelsea, Jan?
Chelsea's a bit difficult because the date of Chelsea Flower Show, it's not conducive to having an exhibition or should I say a competition, because the flowering season is more or less finished. But it is well known that at Chelsea there are Dutch growers and growers from Lincolnshire and other areas who can keep the flowers in flower, in fridges, delay the flowering time by keeping them in big walk-in fridges, like butcher's fridges, keep the flowers for the show, which obviously the Chelsea show is much later than all the other spring shows, and have them in flower in perfect condition for the week of Chelsea. It's a very, it's a difficult art to master, but one or two have done it very well, like Taylors of Lincolnshire, Johnny Walkers of Lincolnshire, and before them there was Michael Jefferson Brown, who used to stage an exhibit of daffodils there every year for about 25 years.
And as a final question to you, Jan, what's your favourite variety?
Well, my favourite variety is actually what we call a species daffodil, which is there are about 85, 90 species, and of those species, probably about a couple of hundred forms or varieties of them, subspecies. But one of my favourites, if not the favourite, is a thing called Narcissus cyclamineus. And it has a Latin name simply because it is the botanical name. And being a species, all the species are referred to by their Latin name. So Narcissus simply means daffodil. Narcissus is the botanical term for daffodil. And Narcissus cyclamineus, as it might suggest in its title, has a flower that has swept back petals. It's golden yellow, yellow petals and yellow trumpet. Grows to about 6 to 8 inches high and is a native of Spain and Portugal. And it's one of the most beautiful, long-lasting varieties in the garden and has been one of the most prodigious parents in breeding hybrids that can last anything up to 6 weeks in the garden in flower.
It sounds beautiful. Jan, thank you so, so much for joining us on the Happy Garden podcast and talking all things daffodil. I think you being involved with daffodils must make you so happy. They're just the happiest flower, aren't they?
Absolutely. And they bring joy wherever they go.
Jan Dalton there, archivist at the National Daffodil Society. And he's right, isn't he, Dazzler? They're just so joyful.
You know, Molly, they are the sunshine on a stick, aren't they?
Yes.
They just make you smile.
That's
you
nice.
Know, and you get that perfect spring morning, don't you? And then you've got the daffs out, and it's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
I don't know if they are. I don't know what kind they are, but we've got some in one particular place in the garden. They almost look plastic. They're really big and really thick. And yeah, they don't look real. They're so perfect. Just love them. And the Daffodil Annual Society show for 2024 is on Saturday, 20th of April, and Sunday, the 21st of April as well, at the Birmingham Botanical Gardens, Westbourne Road in Edgbaston in Birmingham. More details at thedaffodilsociety.com.
Well, do you know, Mo, when I was training, there's something like 50 different divisions of daffodils, narcissus in other words. When I was doing my initial training, my lecturer walked in one day and he just laid them all out on the table and said, right, today's lecture is daffodil identification. Off you go. And that was 6 hours of us trying to identify these things.
How did you get on?
I didn't do very well.
That's definitely a daffodil. That's a daffodil. Gosh. Right, shall we do your money-saving tips?
Yes.
Now,
there we go.
Live on the Happy Garden podcast, it's time for
Darren's money-saving tips.
Well, yes. Always eludes me, that button. Anyway, I found it. Go, Darren, go.
Well, it's time to keep an eye on your municipal bedding displays, folks. So if you're a bedding plant person, and it's still fine to be a bedding plant person, folks, nothing wrong with that, but we are trying to sort of dull down a little bit on bedding plants because of the carbon footprint. When something dies, you see, it releases carbon. So use more perennials if you can do. But if you're a bedding plant person, keep an eye on your municipal bedding displays because I'll be starting to swap them over in the next few weeks. Now, if you pluck up courage and go and walk up to the contractors, because all they do is they go in to skip folks and ask them for the primulas and the pansies and all sorts of things and any daffs and things that the tulips they might be pulling out, they'll give them you for free. So you can take them home, you can grow them on, and you'll have a wonderful spring display for nothing. All for just having a little bit of courage to ask a contractor, can I have a handful of those? What do you think about that one, Molly?
Genius. Love it. Similar to last week's, your money saving last week at the garden centres, you know, similarly so at the change of seasons, just go in and ask. Have the balls to ask.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of courage. Mm. They can only say no, can't they?
Mm.
And you're right. Chuck you out.
They're all really embarrassed and never go there again. But yeah, they, you're right. They just get composted, don't they? They're just chucked away. So
yeah. They don't grow them on. They have no way of doing that these days. So it's a really sad thing, really, because all the nurseries that they used to have, local authorities have gone. So it's all bought in, folks, and they just compost them, or it goes to landfill.
Great, good money saving. I'm going to keep on giving out the email. If you've got money saving tips that you want to share as well, drop us an email at The Happy Garden Podcast. It is thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Or, of course, the Facebook. We do have one. It is The Happy Garden Podcast. We've got Instagram, which is The Happy Garden Podcast. Dazzler, you've got your own one or two Facebook pages?
Yeah, I've got Darren Rudge, Laughing Gardener. It's the one in the blue shirt, folks. I've got a personal one and people keep trying to friend me.
Do they?
And I'm not going to... Yeah, it's the one with the pumpkin. That's a personal one, so I'm not letting anybody
in. The one with
there.
The pumpkin.
What's that photo you took of me,
I know,
actually.
I remember.
Got me Queen T-shirt on.
You have, yeah, you look really cool. And then and you're doing a big beaming smile and you're holding a pumpkin. What, you just carved it? I don't remember, it was years ago.
I don't know. I think it was just there, actually.
Just, yeah, some random pumpkin that Darren's holding. So the one with the blue shirt is yours.
Yeah.
I've got one, Molly Green, Molly with an IE, one with the headphones on. So, yeah, there's loads of ways for you to get in touch about anything at all. It's you. It's your podcast. We'll be steered by you. So, and also use those ways if you've got any questions for our Darren as well. Anyway, money saving tips done.
Oh, yeah. Darren's money saving tips.
I'm Pete Waterman, and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. It's always better the devil you mow.
Darren, I'll tell you what has been absolutely beautiful. I meant to mention it a couple of weeks ago, and I lay in bed the other day thinking, I've got to talk about this. Around 5 a.m. for the last 2, maybe 3 weeks, we have a song thrush outside the bedroom window singing its heart out. It is the most beautiful dawn chorus already.
It's a bit rude, isn't it?
What do you mean? What, because it's so early?
Waking you up at 5 a.m.
Oh, you open the window. Shut up! No, it is lovely. The song thrush, I'm assuming it's the male. I could be absolutely wrong. We've got to do something on the dawn chorus very, very soon. We'll get Chris Baines on talking about the international dawn chorus in a month or so. But I think it's the males that sing loudly, isn't it? Early doors. It is. It's. I know they're listening. It's not. You can't replicate many bird songs, and you certainly, the human vocal cords can't replicate the thrush, the song thrush. And it does all this vocalisation, and then it ends with like, it's almost like a xylophone, which again I can't mimic, but it's just beautiful. Anyway, let's get Andy Lound on now, though, with the history of greenhouses for you. Sit back and enjoy.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me.
Hello, Molly and Darren. Today, I will embark on a journey through time to explore the fascinating history of greenhouses. It's a tale of ingenuity, innovation, and the pursuit of sustainable agriculture. Our story begins centuries ago in ancient Rome, where the concept of growing plants in controlled environments first took root. See what I did there? Wealthy Romans sought to indulge their taste for exotic fruits and vegetables, leading to the creation of rudimentary structures called specularia, These early greenhouses were essentially transparent walls that allowed sunlight to nourish the plants within, offering a glimpse into the potential for controlled environments for agricultural purposes. Fast forward to the 17th century, a time of great scientific and technological progress. European botanists and gardeners were eager to experiment with exotic plant species from distant lands. Enter the orangeries and pineries of the time, structures designed to protect citrus and pine trees from harsh climates. These buildings marked a significant leap in greenhouse development, showcasing a growing understanding of the relationship between light, heat, and plant growth. The 19th century saw a greenhouse revolution with the advent of glass manufacturing techniques. This allowed for the construction of larger, more efficient structures. Sir Joseph Paxton, the visionary behind the Crystal Palace, demonstrated the power of modern greenhouse design during the Great Exhibition of 1851 in London. His architectural marvel not only showcased innovation, but also highlighted the potential of greenhouses in advancing agriculture and horticulture. This led to the boom in greenhouse design, especially Victorian ones, some of which are actually preserved these days. As the 20th century dawned, greenhouses evolved into sophisticated structures, incorporating advanced heating, ventilation, and automated systems. The Netherlands emerged as a global leader in greenhouse technology, pioneering the use of hydroponics and introducing the world to the concept of controlled environmental agriculture. These developments played a crucial role in ensuring year-round production of crops and addressing food security concerns. In recent decades, the environmental impact of traditional agriculture has spurred renewed interest in greenhouse technologies. The quest for sustainability has led to the rise of energy-efficient greenhouses equipped with state-of-the-art climate control systems. These modern marvels utilise renewable energy sources, precision agriculture techniques, and even smart technologies to optimise crop yields while minimising the resource used. Now, have you heard of the haunted greenhouse? Well, in the USA, there was a story that at certain times of the day, ghostly figures could be seen through the windows of a greenhouse, yet there was no one there. Many people saw the apparitions. The mystery was solved when it was discovered that the glass used in the greenhouse was recycled photographic plates from the American Civil War. In fact, at one time, there were so many old plates that many greenhouses were constructed with them. The images, though, fade due to the sunlight. So, from ancient Roman specularia to the Civil War plates to the cutting-edge greenhouses of today, these structures have not only shaped the course of agriculture, but have also become a symbol of our commitment to feeding a growing global population while respecting the environment. Time to get my tomatoes planted in the greenhouse. Oh, it can be a pain. Oh, never mind. Hang on. What's that figure looking at me through the glass? I wondered where my old glamour plates had gone. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
Andy Lound, everybody. Yay! Thank you, Andy. He's not a pain at all.
Hey, you know what, Molly? Mm-hmm. When they knock down churches, and I'll send you some photos of these, they are recycling the stained glass into glasshouses, into greenhouses, in other
words.
Yeah, there's some really, really unusual pictures. Community gardens, they're actually donating these stained glass windows to community spaces so that they can have a greenhouse. It's made from the glass windows, the stained glass windows from the local churches.
Oh, I bet that's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely stunning. I'll send you a picture in a while.
Yeah, do.
And I'll show you exactly
what I mean.
Imagine
when the light catches that.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous. It's an absolutely brilliant idea, isn't it?
Although yeah, I bet really a little different. Tommy is not allowed to play football. Anywhere near. Oh, lovely. Yeah, send me that and we'll stick that up on the Facebook page for when this pod gets released. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Andy Land will be back next week. He might be doing bushes next week. Don't know. Might not. Anyway, listen, T, we see you in three.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
If that's all right. Yes. Are we allowed a break?
Yeah, I'll just edit the break out. It's fine.
All right,
then. I have the power.
I've gone for my next cup of coffee there.
Yeah, yours sounds empty and mine's also empty, so.
in a bit then.
Tee-wee, see you in three. We'll just have a few adverts. We've got Dazzler's gardening jokes on the way. We've got jobs for the week ahead, what to sow and grow this week. We've got all sorts of bits and pieces, so stay where you are and we'll see you just in two ticks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Are you back?
I am back.
Ooh, I've got further to go than you. Yeah. Get a coffee.
I had to go down the spare room to get some additional milk.
What's additional milk?
I like, as you know, the Oatly Barista, the grey one, but it's long life. Yeah. I don't like the chilled one. Let me just turn the heater off. I don't like the chilled one that much. I like the long life one. So it was 50p off the other day in all the supermarkets because I think it's like £2.10. In fact, no, it was 70p off. So it was 150. So I stocked up and I bought about 60 and they're all in the spare room under the bed.
Yeah.
really needed to know that.
Spare room under the bed.
Yeah. It's where I keep my stash, man. My stash of Oatly. Do you know what I was thinking? I was waiting for the kettle to boil.
What was that?
What my bare root roses will have been singing as I opened the bag they came in.
What was that then? What were you thinking?
Please release me, let me grow. That's as far as I got.
No, I love you. That's the wrong song, isn't it? Because I love you. Yeah, because please release me, let me grow. For I don't love you anymore.
I do need to ask you about my bare root roses. I did buy them from a very reputable place. But they are just literally twigs. There's not even a sign of a bud on them. Is that right for this time of year?
Yeah. That's
sure.
What they are. They're twigs with roots on. As long as they've got roots on, you're fine.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if the roots are dead or alive. And all the other roses I've bought from garden centres lately have got some leaves and buds.
No, they'll be fine.
Sure.
As long as you planted them. How did you plant them? Have you got them in pots or in the ground?
In the ground.
In the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So did you plant at the nursery, Mark?
What? No, really, what?
So these bare root roses that you bought, okay, were in a field. So they've been dug out of a field. And where the stem went into the ground, there'll be a change in colour on the actual stem.
So it was brown to green. Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I did plant up to that, yeah.
That's it then.
Yeah.
So they'll be all right, they'll be fine.
One of them I lost patience with by the shed because there's so many roots there. And I know you're supposed to dig really far down and put lots of well-rotted this, that and the other and grow more and whatever. I didn't really. I just lost patience. But the roots are covered.
It'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
They don't need food around their roots.
Okay.
So this is the other thing that, as a horticultural lecturer, we don't tell people to put food around their roots anymore. Because this is my fish and chips in bed analogy, Molly.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Because if you was in bed and somebody bought you fish and chips,
nice.
Okay,
yeah.
Would you get out of bed?
No, mate.
No.
No, mate.
No.
I'd ask for the condiments to be brought into the bedroom.
So you've got everything that you actually need, and this is the problem with putting food around the roots of plants like trees in particular and bare root roses, because they'll just sit there. They've got everything they need, rather than searching for the food.
Oh, they haven't got to try.
Which gives them the ability to produce a root system. They just sit there because they think, wow,
makes
this
sense.
Is great.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Of course it makes sense.
Sorry, that was really rude of me. You're right, Darren. Yeah, no, that is good. So next time I plant something, I won't
put
be
any
so
food
kind
around.
To it. Yeah.
Certainly don't put any compost in the bottom of the hole anymore. We don't do that for a number of reasons, because number one, as I've just said, they don't search for food if it's already there. Plus, the compost breaks down, and then you've got an air gap which can fill with water.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've got something heavy on top of it, like a tree, it actually drops. So it drops in the ground, and then you've got water that flows into the root system, and it can just sit in water and it can kill the tree.
Yeah. Now, our Dazzler Pants, a few. Again, we need a little. We need a little catchy title for this slot as well. I thought we'd do like a listener update slot, a few bits off social meads, which is what the young people call social media. Social meads. That rhymes with weeds. I'll get the house plant band onto that.
Yeah, please do. Okay. I mean. I've got a suggestion for the houseplant band.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just needs a little percussion, perhaps tambourine or cymbal or something like that.
I heard last week that the allotment people nicked his... they waited till he was high on paraffin and nicked his swanee whistle and kazoo. Although, hang on, look at my pen pot here. Oh, look. Oh, no. Oh, how'd you kazoo? How'd you play a kazoo? How'd you play that then? How'd you play a kazoo? How'd you play a kazoo? It's just a piece of plastic. Oh, there we are.
There you are.
And then, also in here is one of these.
That sounds like a demented sooty and sweep.
Sounded like Sue, really, didn't it? Anyone would think I'd stolen those off him. But you're right, if we get some bit of percussion going, then we'll do a musical introduction to this slot. But listen, on a serious note, long-term listener Margaret and Lisa, her daughter Lisa, they have been listeners to Darren and I for like a couple of decades. Do you remember Margaret when I thought I had left the BBC and oh no, she did it to you as well when she thought we were both leaving. Margaret sent us birthday cards and Christmas cards for the next 5 years.
Didn't she? Yeah, yeah.
She's just the most lovely lady. Anyway, she dropped me an email on the Happy Garden podcast. Emailed. She's in hospital and she's quite poorly at the moment, and she's, in fact, her birthday will have gone by the time this podcast is released, but it's her 80th birthday on Tuesday. She was really hoping she'd be back home, but she will still be in hospital on Tuesday.
Okay.
So which is really sad, but I'm sure all the nurses and doctors will be fabulous to her. But if we can just give her a little quick happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Margaret.
Margaret.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Margaret.
Yes. I'm sorry you're in hospital for it. And I'm sorry.
That sounded a bit demented.
It was stupid. It did sound stupid. I was just about to explain. We've got a bit of a delay still on the line, so we can't really sing together, can we? You might have noticed. The laptop's working, by the way, that I spilt the grow more on.
Oh, have you got the new... Is this what we're on?
No.
Oh, right.
Because this is my laptop, which I couldn't afford but bought. It's here to my right. And I'd only had it 2 weeks. And then I was washing my plants a couple of weeks ago and with liquid grow more, dropped it on the laptop. And all the forums said it would be £1,000 to repair. I cried a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I left it to dry for about 4 days. It has turned back on, so I very, very quickly bought AppleCare from the laptop, which I hadn't bought before. You've got to buy it from the laptop to prove it's working before you can buy it. Anyway, so I bought that, and I have been told that it will give up because it will have gone into the circuit board and the motherboard, and it'll give up soon. But, anyway, what was I telling you that for?
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I'd gone to sleep.
Shut up, Darren!
least, you know, we've got to the part in our relationship where we can be honest.
There was a point to that. I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, right, let's press on, shall we? Right, where are we?
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, yeah, no, we've done Margaret. Denise on the Facebook page says, Molly, here's the first butterfly of 2024. We've got a lovely picture of Mr. Peacock. So, yeah, the peacocks come out around now, don't they? And we've got small tortoise shells coming out from the end of February, so they'll be out now as well. Red admirals from the start of March coming out now, and small whites from the end of March. So, yeah, the butterfly season is about to start. Thank you for that, Denise. And then finally, just off the social media slot, Darren, I don't think you've seen this because he only posted this morning. Darren, not you, another Darren, said, Molly, had my rabbit cremated last year and the vets gave us some forget-me-not seeds, which I thought was a lovely touch, and I'm going to get the grandkids to plant them in trays this weekend. Our vets have started doing that. It is a lovely touch, isn't it?
Oh, brilliant. Forget-me-nots, you can plant in trays, Darren. Well, you can put them straight onto the ground because they're a hardy annual, so you can sow them directly where you want them to flower. But either or, you know, get the children involved. It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what a way to remember, a valued pet, a pet that's been part of your life. It's great, absolutely excellent. And what a lovely thing for that vet to do.
Yeah,
lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a really, really nice touch. With the seeds, is it a bit early to put the seeds outside right now? Should you wait a few weeks?
No, not at all. No, not at all. They can go right into the ground. You could have done them in October, actually. You could have sown them in October and left them in the ground. Because they're hardy, that's what they mean. They will withstand frost, so it's not a problem.
Okay.
Not a problem for you to do that.
Okay.
And in fact, if you read on the seed packet, it's probably that's the advice that they might give. You can do them in trays. It's not a problem, but they don't really need any heat or anything.
Shall we do your yet-to-be-titled Darren Sow and Grow slot?
Yeah,
Shall we?
We need a title, don't we?
We do.
So put that out there.
We need a title for the social meads, and we need a title for Darren Sow and Grow. Let me get you a nice bit of music. Hang on a second. What have we got?
Look, there's no question about it. Molly Green is the real deal.
Oh, Dick. That's not the button I needed.
Honestly.
What has... There's so many buttons. So many buttons that make me laugh. Here's the doorbell. That's our doorbell at home. It doesn't work. Hang on, I do have some nice music. I just need to find it. What about that one?
That's all right.
Is that nice?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right,
yeah.
You can have this one then.
Yeah.
All right, ready when you are.
So our new little slot, really, is going to be me profiling what you can do. You're sort of concentrating on a couple of bits, really. We do the job slot, don't we? And I sort of ramble through a number of jobs you're going to be up to. But we thought it might be nice just to concentrate on just a few and explain how to do these things and get the most out of your garden plants. So there's a bit of money-saving tip as well as some practical gardening advice. Now, what my students have been up to this week is their practical exams. And one of the things that they've actually had to do for their practical exams is to divide plants. And it's a really, really excellent time for you to do that, folks, and to actually get more from the initial plant that you actually bought. So when you buy a herbaceous plant, now let's just clarify that, you've got shrubby plants, which are these things with woody stems. You know, they've got bark on, they've got woody stems. You can't really divide them. There are some shrubs that you can divide, but you can't really divide them. It's these fleshy plants that we love, that we're looking at here, your hostas, your foxgloves, all those sorts of things, phlox and asters, they're all starting to come through. It's a good time of year to do this. You can do it in the autumn, but actually I prefer to do it in the spring because they're just starting to push through. You can see the little green shoots of life, so you know that clump is alive. Now, once you plant your herbaceous plants, you need to leave them for about 4 to 5 years and then get them out the ground and sort them out. Because if you leave them for longer than that, they become old, they become woody, they stop flowering and they don't produce as many leaves. So after about 4 to 5 years, get your spade out, folks. Go and dig them up into clumps. And then what you're looking to do is to chop them into pieces. Now, sometimes you can do this with your hands. You can just tease them apart and you're looking for a fist-sized clump. And disregard the centre or the core because that's the old bit you don't really want. And when I say disregard, just pop that on your compost heap cut it up into bits and pieces, and that will break down and go back to nature from whence it came. Now, when you've got your fist-sized clumps, just work through them, because there might be weeds in there, there might be old leaves on there. Cut them back if you need to, and then you can plant them up. You can put them back into the garden and plant them up. Now, if it's things like Crocosmia and those sorts of things, then you'll have little corms on the end. You might just need to put a little bit of compost across the ground, or even just fork it into the ground as you actually replant. And that just gives them a little bit of a boost when they start to come through, because it's almost as if they've gone through a massively big operation and they go through a little bit of transplanting shock. Now space them out, folks. If you've got enough plants left, give some to your friends and your neighbours. But get out there in your garden this week, have a look at your herbaceous perennials. If they're older than 4 to 5 years, you've had them for more than 4 to 5 years, get that spade in the ground and chop them up into bits and replant them, and you'll have some glorious displays that you can leave again for 4 to 5 years. So that's my first slot, concentrating on plant division.
What can we be sowing this week?
Well, there's, if you're a bedding plant person, Moz, then, your summer bedding plants, you can be getting those, and you could have been having those in your heated propagator for about a month. So you can get those in. You can sow your tomatoes. You can sow lettuce, things like that, all sorts of those sorts of things, as well as things like Begonia sempervirens, as I said, really, really tiny seed. So remember, if you've got really tiny seed, almost like dust, you need to put them into a carrier so that you can actually sow them. And what that is that's really, really fine sand. You can use wallpaper paste if you haven't got sand. You just drop some wallpaper paste into like a dish or a saucer, tip your packet of seed in there, and open the packet of seed packet up, because they're so microscopic that they might be hiding in the corners of the seed packet. Just tip them in. Mix them around a bit and then sow the actual wallpaper paste or the sand so you know where you've sown. And then you'll have your Begonia sempervirens coming through in about 3 to 4 weeks' time. There you go.
Great.
All right.
Yeah, more than.
Oh. Nice music.
It is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
The bottom's labelled gentle.
Oh, it's lovely. Is it copyrighted?
No. Otherwise, I wouldn't be using it, Darren.
Excellent.
That's against the law.
We'll go with gentle. That's nice.
Well, is that? Or I didn't see this button. Hang on. Oh, hang on. No, wait. Stop. Stop. Wait. Hang on. There we go.
Oh, no.
Now, this is you.
Yeah.
It's a bit of you.
Yeah.
This can be our sow and grow, or whatever it's going to be called. What's Darren doing, bed?
Yeah.
Listen to your voice. Well, you go all weird as soon as I put...
It's way down low, isn't it?
Right, one sheet's done, two sheets done, and three sheets done. We're on the last sheet.
Last sheet.
We haven't talked about the major horticultural news this week. I've printed it off. The sycamore gap, new life springs from rescued tree.
Yes.
News, which is amazing.
Yes.
Do you want me to read a little bit that's from the news, or do you want to chat about it?
Well, you can read a bit from the news if you like. But, you know, it's obviously massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's wonderful, wonderful news from what was a really, really vicious act of vandalism.
Pointless,
totally and utterly.
Well, the bare bones, this is from a BBC article online this week. BBC News have said the new shoots on a rare visit to the secret National Trust Centre protecting the seedlings have brought joy. Now, of course, this tree, as Darren said, was just mindlessly cut down. I think it was back in September, wasn't it? This tree that used to be nestled in a gap in Hadrian's Wall. There was a national outpouring of shock and dismay as it was felled. Yes, here we are, September. Police have bailed two men. They have got two people, and they're investigating what happened at this deliberate act of vandalism site. But young twigs and seeds thrown to the ground when the tree toppled were salvaged by the National Trust, which cares for the site with Northumberland National Park Authority. So the Hall of Fame at this little seed bank at the secret location in Devon has got copies of the apple tree that Sir Isaac Newton said inspired the theories of gravity, and also a 2,500-year-old yew tree that witnessed King Henry VIII's relationship with Anne Boleyn in 1530. There's all these backup plants there, ensuring the nation's heritage in case of outbreaks of disease, devastating storms, or an attack on trees, which is what happened to the Sycamore Gap. And just to sort of summarise what happened, when the tree came down, there was a local horticulturist, Rachel Ryer, who sprang into action, scrambled over the damaged tree and the wall to collect young twigs with buds, vital raw material for grafting genetic copies of the tree. It was drying out fast, Rachel said. We saved what we could. Oh, bless her, she said she was standing behind Hexham Post Office thinking, nobody in the country knows I'm carrying what's left of the Sycamore Gap tree. She had five bags of twigs, seeds and a few leaves, which arrived in Devon at 9:30 the next day. And then by 3:30, grafting was done, 20 pieces grafted. And, yeah, they're absolutely praying that they will now have the descendants of the Sycamore Gap tree. 5 months on, they're looking after 9 surviving grafted plants and 40 to 50 seedlings. And she says, literally after the first one came up, carrying the small pot with a 10 centimetre green shoot, people have cried when they've held this. And this is next to a rhododendron seedling, which is the only known one in the world. This greenhouse must be magnificent. Darren, there's so much to talk to you about there. Firstly, grafting. That's incredible that they've managed to graft bits onto, what, other bits of other trees? I don't even know how it works.
No, it'll be a rootstock of a sycamore. That's what happens. So the scion material is the bit that you want, and then they'll graft it onto a rootstock, which will be a sycamore, and that will give it a really good, strong root system. And we're looking at cambium here, which is this layer just below the bark. So when you graft something, you need to get the cambium on the rootstock to actually match and marry with the cambium on the scion. Once that happens, it's almost this bond that occurs. They'll just carry on to marry, and then you'll have a growing, living tree. We do this for apples, pears, plums, all sorts of things. This is what a Malling Research Centre was doing in the 1930s, Molly, when we were trying to reduce the size of orchards because we hadn't got the manpower because they were all out at war.
Mm.
So large apple trees needed to be reduced. So Malling, I think it's called, they basically did a whole host of research into dwarfing rootstocks. So sometimes you might buy a tree and say, you'll see it's on an M9 or an M25. That's the particular rootstock. And it means that this tree will only get to a certain dimension, a dwarfing dimension. You'll still get fruit from it and probably the same amount of fruit, but actually it'll be easy to maintain. You can put them into smaller spaces and you can do all sorts of things with rootstocks. It's really, really fascinating when you get into it. But that's what's happening here. It'll be a standard sycamore when once it's grown, but actually the scion material is from that particular tree onto a sycamore rootstock.
Is that how you get like a plum, a peach and an apple on the same tree?
On the same tree, yeah. It's all been grafted, yeah. But it has to be within the same genus. So they have to be related, almost within the same family.
Yeah.
That's how it works. It's difficult to sort of try and graft onto something that's not genetically similar. That's what they've done.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating,
amazing,
isn't it? And there's even a chance that that tree will actually sucker as well. So that might
yes, they
come
did
back
say,
to life.
They said there were some shoots coming off the stump.
Yeah. So, you know, the potential is it'll be back. How about, you know, some school? I mean, presumably there's going to be some sort of application process that these 50 seedlings, some school or community can sort of apply and have one of their own.
Oh, here
it's
we
brilliant,
go.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely right. Another bit of the article says the National Trust still deciding what to do with them once they're strong enough. Schools and communities could be given saplings to grow their own sycamore gap tree. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, that might happen. So it's just amazing that within the space of 6 hours or something, they grafted 20 pieces. Yes, only 9 have taken, but amazing result. And so hopefully it will live on. And I hope whoever did it does get
coming. That's brilliant news, you see.
Yeah, it is great.
Normally when you graft, you know, you've got to either have that stuff, that material in a fridge straight away so you can keep it, or, like the lady says, it just dries out.
Mm.
And the fact that they've got 9 pieces to actually look as though they're alive, it's wonderful news.
Yeah,
brilliant
it is.
News.
It's great. That's what it is.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
Was that your head or your arm?
My elbow. It was my head. I told you think I am. Only 5 foot four. My head's nowhere near the ceiling. Right, we've only got jokes, jobs, and a bit of garden centre chat left. Is there anything we haven't done of yours?
No, I think that's it.
All right, great. So, a couple of bits and bobs. And again, this will be the sort of the social meds bit of people who've been in touch with us. Because I've been talking about garden centres and bits and bobs, Mary in Stoke emailed at thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. She recommends Bent's Garden Centre in Cheshire. Have you heard of this one?
Yeah.
It might be. Is it Warrington?
Yeah, that's it.
Which apparently, according to, I don't know, I think it was TripAdvisor, I'm not quite sure, but according to one ratings site, the best garden centre in the UK. And I had a look online. It's massive.
Yeah, it's ginormous. Bent's is brilliant.
Oh, you been?
Yeah, I've been. They've got a coffee shop right in the middle. See, I rate garden centres on coffee shops.
Excellent. Well, I'm definitely going to go there. I've had a look online and, yeah, it just looks amazing. A proper day out. So thank you for recommending that, Mary. Daniel, lovely Daniel as well. Hello to you. He's been to, he says, have you been to Bressingham Garden Centre? He says, wonderful gardens. Two of my passions, steam trains and Dad's Army there as well. I'm not quite sure which bit of Dad's Army, but he says Bressingham Garden Centre is a must. Hi to you, Daniel. It would be nice, actually, Darren. Again, we're ideas people today. For 2024, I'd like to do a slot sort of like inside the garden centre. I'd be really interested to know how garden centres tick, how they work, how the ordering and the trends of plants and patio furniture, and they must look at the weather forecast coming for the next couple of months and order in appropriately. There must be an awful lot of workings going on in a garden centre.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it is quite fascinating. I mean, we were talking about your friend John Massey, weren't we?
Yes, we're going to get him on the pod.
You can ask him about Ashwood's Nursery in Kings Winford. And basically, he'll tell you about the work into the garden centre.
Yeah,
well,
he's an
incredible
man. Yeah, definitely going to get him on. But if anybody's listening that does work in a garden centre as well, and I'd also like to know why you've always got a half price put sale on. Get in touch. That would be smashing. And we'd love to hear about your garden centre and how you order in and deal with the public and, yeah, just the workings behind it. Oh, and a quick tip as well, Darren. I forgot to mention this last week. If you do go to a garden centre, always, always, always have a look at the bargain section.
Yeah.
What did I get last week? A palm. Have I sent you a picture of my palm?
No.
70 quid palm.
I haven't seen this.
70 quid palm. It was a tenner. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just because a couple of the fronds were broken. And there was this... Where were we? Sapcoat Garden Centre.
God, you've done
did I mention
rounds,
that last week?
You?
Yeah.
You've really done the rounds,
haven't
you?
It was absolutely great.
I mean, the other quick tip, folks, is look at discount schemes as well. So many of these garden centres belong to a discount scheme or something like that. And, yeah, you do have to sign up for them. You might get the odd email and, cope with the odd thing through the door. But actually, if you sign up, there's at least 10% off. You might get 50% off. And just sign up for it. You've got nothing to lose, have you, really?
It does add up. When you're thinking like roses and stuff are 30 quid, then 10% off, it's well worth doing.
Definitely. Yeah, most definitely.
Great tip. Right, we're nearly done. I'm so sorry that your jokes are so far down the list.
It's all right.
All right, where's your joke? Here we go. Are you ready? Are you...
Yeah.
Okay. You haven't built this up too much, like you normally do, so I'm...
I think you might tell me off for the first one. We'll see where we go with it.
I'm bitterly disappointed there's no potato jokes this week.
Right. But you know the punchline.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
Yeah, yes, I do. OK, then, Darren, let's be having you.
Right, Molly. Recently, I joined an allotment group of naked gardeners.
Oh, Ace.
OK, I have to admit... I was a bit worried about it, but it was hard for the first day, but after that, it was okay.
Darren, that's really, really good. That's so good, my voice just broke. That's equal to a potato joke. Very pleased with you on.
We can only go downhill from that, can't we?
That's true. Very good, Darren.
I took the dog for a... I just couldn't resist it.
Brilliant.
I just thought, that's brilliant. Took the dog for a walk in the countryside and he picked up a tick. What do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common, Molly?
Oh, I don't know. What do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common, Darren?
They're both parasites.
Darren, you're surpassing yourself.
Oh, dear. Right. The farmer next door to my vegetable-growing small holding keeps letting his cattle walk all over my crops, Molly. I've a real beef with him.
OK, good.
Molly, if I opened a restaurant growing my own vegetarian cuisine from Chinese and Middle Eastern countries, what could I call it?
Careful, Darren.
That's no, quite tame, actually.
Go on, then.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Good.
Molly, last year I bought a 12-year-old malt whiskey. His mum was furious with me.
I don't get it, but I'm still laughing.
I bought a 12-year-old malt whiskey.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, I do. Now you've said it again.
And finally...
Oh, yes, got another one.
I don't mind cold weather when I'm working in the garden, but only to a certain degree.
Darren! That's possibly the best batch of jokes you've ever done.
Really?
Even without the potato. Oh,
I've set a precedent now, haven't I?
Oh, Darren.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'd like you to know I'm very pleased with you.
Oh, great. Sets me up for the rest of the day, that does.
Oh, that was ace. That's really, really funny. Oh, what?
No, we're still doing. We're nearly done.
Is that your wife saying when?
Yeah. He's still on.
I know.
He's still on.
We started this at 9 o'clock this morning.
Thought I'd died.
Well, to be honest, I'm still in my gym jams, and you and we're both going to see our mums. My sister's cooked a chili con barmy with jacket potatoes. Looking forward to that. So yeah, when there's food on the table, you can't really be late. So we probably ought to wrap things up. Are you being cooked for? What a stupid question.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's on the menu. No, I just asked for the menu.
Or have you cooked and you're taking something round for your mum? Darren,
no.
We love you. Shall we finish with some jobs for the week ahead and then we can both get dressed and go out?
Why not?
Are you dressed? I didn't ask.
No, I'm still in my gym
jams. Yeah, am I?
I'm in my lounge pants.
Lounge pants. All right. All right, then we'll do some jobs.
Now in the happy garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes. 3, 2... and one, go.
So, if you're not already done so, prune your summer flowering clematis, folks, before they start to develop that new growth. Plant lily and gladioli bulbs in 4-inch deep holes. Cover with soil, but remember to really push that compost down or soil down so that you really make it nice and firm. What you don't want is air gaps, because air gaps fill with water and water will rot your bulbs. Remove algae and moss from patios and paths with a proprietary patio cleaner, or just get yourself a bag of sharp sand, folks. Scatter that around the path and then just brush it, and it really acts as a deterrent for algae and moss growth, and you'll just literally sweep it away. If you're ordering seeds from plugs from your seed and mail order companies, do it right now. It's a little bit late, folks, so it's getting on. So get them ordered pretty soon. Start off your seed potatoes by standing them in seed trays with eyes uppermost on a sunny windowsill. And for an early crop of strawberries, bring those pots into your greenhouse right now.
Great. Podcast 28.
Done.
Done. 4 sheets done. I think we made a fister today.
Yeah,
although our other halves are both like tapping their watches in the other room. We have chatted a bit today, haven't we?
Yeah, just a
well.
We only get together once a week.
Yes.
Have a little nattery there and everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've caught up quite a bit today, haven't we? Quite a goss.
Yeah. I think we've done quite a bit of planning, haven't we, for the pod?
Yes, I think so. I'll get on to the new slot production.
Lovely.
Lovely. Yeah.
All right. I'm glad you like the naked gardening joke.
Oh, that was that. Yes, I'm going to tell my mum that when I get to her house. Oh, that is my mum. Did you hear that ding? Where are you? Go on.
Where are you?
Right, let's get dressed and go ski. Thank you very much to everyone for listening to the Happy Garden podcast this week. And happy Mother's Day. I know by the time this comes out, Mother's Day will have gone, but happy Mother's Day anyway. And Darren, have a lovely day and we'll see you for the podcast next Friday.
Thank you. And happy gardening, folks. Have a great time in the garden.
Draw!
Bye!
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.